Second Kings, chapter 5. Special welcome to all of us this morning. And thank you very much for that opening. Let's commit our time and the word to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, I'm so grateful for the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And pray that as we open your word, that we would see him. And that you would speak to our hearts in a way that only you can. And that you would receive all the glory and honor. We ask in your name. So we're going to read together 2 Kings chapter 5. And one of the main characters here is Naaman. There's a servant girl. There's some other servants. There's a couple of kings. We'll read through this together. And just in case I'm able to get lost, some of the main points are up there on the board. We'll go through those one at a time as we go through this verse by verse. So 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter has come to you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? This man is sent unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean." And Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of his Lord his God, and strike his hands over this place, and recover the leper. I'm not a bandit. Far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned away and went away in a rage. And the servants came near and spoke to him, saying, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would you have done it? How much rather than when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his skin came again like unto the skin of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and they came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of your servant." But he said, "As the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not, then I pray thee, be given to your servant 2 mules burden of earth? For your servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice to any other gods, but to the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon your servant, that when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon, Lord, pardon my servant in this thing." And he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving out of his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him, and I will take something from him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he got off the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master has sent me, saying, Behold, even now there come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, 1,000 talents of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound him 2 talents of silver in 2 bags, and with 2 changes of garments, and laid them upon 2 of the servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house, and let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, Where did you come from, Gehazi? And he said, Your servant didn't go anywhere. And he said to him, Went not my heart with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet you? Isn't it a time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cling to you, and unto your seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. I thought we'd just go through this one verse at a time and see what we can learn from the passage. And so Naaman, he's a mighty man. He's respected. He's honorable. He's called a mighty man of valor, a great man. So there's a lot going well with him in life. He's very successful in his career. And he's held in honor, but he has leprosy. He has leprosy. And leprosy in the scripture is a picture of sin. And leprosy, you know, you lose your feeling and it spreads through your body. And there's not really much hope for someone with leprosy. There wasn't any known cure then of leprosy. So this is the first person we meet in this passage. And in very stark contrast, the next person we meet is a servant's girl. The Syrians had got out, they captured this servant girl, and they brought her, so the servant girl from Israel has been taken captive, and now she's living in Syria, but she's a servant girl of the wife of Naaman. So just try to put yourself in this servant girl's position, or put yourself in her shoes. She's far away from home, she's far away from family, she's living in a strange place with unfamiliar people, that they're worshiping idols. She can't visit home, she can't write a letter to home, she can't call home, she can't send a fax, she can't send an email, she can't FaceTime or text or have any other social media messages sent. There's just no communication with home. And probably some people could hardly bear the thought of, you know, no texting or social communication for a long period of time, but this girl was living in that situation. But in all this disconnection from family and friends, the servant's girl, her relationship with God remained, and her faith in God remained, and she was unwavering in her faith. And not only that, she spoke of God to others. So verse 3, she says, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. So this servant's girl's faith is going to be on full display here, even though her circumstances in life aren't favorable for her. She's a shining light, she's a beacon of hope in a hopeless situation. And she's referring others to the Lord, she's speaking of the Lord to others. This servant's girl's faith is so strong that she believed this incurable disease of leprosy was something that God could heal. How many leprosy healings do you think that the servant girl had heard of? Or how many healings of leprosy do you think that she had witnessed? Keep your hand in 2 Kings 5 and turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 27. The Lord Jesus is talking. Luke chapter 4, 27. And the Lord Jesus says, And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. So the whole idea of God healing a leper, like this wasn't something that, this wasn't an everyday experience that she was witnessing on a regular basis, but she had faith that God would be able to heal her master. And the servant girl's lifetime, it was completely unheard of that anyone would have been healed from leprosy. So she knew that this is something that God could do, and she was placing her faith in God. This is really a God-sized problem. And the question, I guess, for us is, well, what God-sized problems has the Lord allowed into our lives? And are we approaching this God-sized problem with childlike faith as a servant girl? And not only that, she actually put her faith into action. So she didn't just believe that God could heal his hand. She put her faith into action. She told Naaman's wife, there's a prophet of God in Samaria. He needs to go see him. He can be healed. Verse 5. And so they, Naaman, the king of Syria hears about this, and the king of Syria, he's sending out Naaman with 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of clothing. The idea is, great, someone can heal this guy. What's the purchase price? Okay, there's this large sum of money and stuff. But purchasing God's healing cannot be done. Just like purchasing God's grace, that can't be done. A gift is prepared and sent to purchase God's healing. Verse 6. They bring a letter to the king of Israel, and they say, behold, I have, it says, now when this letter has come to you, behold, I have sent with Naaman my servant to you, that you may recover him of his leprosy. And when the king, when he reads this, he is, I should back up and say, because of the servant's girl's faith, there's now other people in Syria that believe that they're, that Naaman can be healed of his leprosy. Verse 7. So the king, he's like, am I God to kill and to make alive? But he's angry. This other king, he's searching me out. He wants something to hold against me. Am I God to kill and to make alive? And there is, at least from this king, the king of Samaria, at least there's an acknowledgement that to kill and to make alive, that's God's business. But yet he refuses to seek out the prophet of God. He refuses to seek out the word of God. And here's a quote from D.L. Moody, which I think sums up the situation quite well. A little maid said a few words that made a commotion in two kingdoms. God honored her faith by doing for Naaman, the idolater, what he had not done for any in Israel. In verse 8, Elisha, the Lord tells him, or he hears that the king has rent his clothes, and he says, send Naaman. So these people to me. And so Naaman, he comes, and it says in verse 10, I think this is very interesting, and Elisha sent a messenger to him. So Elisha, he's the messenger of God, but he's not one that desires to be in the spotlight. He sends a messenger to him. And the idea is, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as messengers of God, we need to, with humility, not desire to be in the spotlight, but certainly to speak the word in season to them that are weary, to speak forth the message that God would have us to speak forth. And just as the message of God flows through Elisha, it needs to flow through us as well, to those who need to hear. The Bible says, how shall they believe on him and whom they have not heard? And how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. So sometimes it's the gospel that is spoken. Other times it's a word of encouragement or a word to build someone up that's spoken by the messengers of God, which we need to be. Verse 11, Naaman says, but Naaman was angry, and he went away and said, behold, I thought. And he thought things would turn out quite differently than they did. And he thought Elisha would come and perform some sort of thing, say some sort of words over him, wave his hands, strike his hands over the place to recover him. He thought that some sort of religious performance was necessary to accomplish the healing. And likewise, with sin, some people have the idea that that there's some sort of religious performance or attendance or something like this needs to take place in order for me to have eternal salvation, to have peace with God and entrance into heaven. Well, I know myself, and I thought that, you know, if I went to church enough, if I prayed enough, if I gave enough, then I would be forever with God and die. But that's not true. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. The only way to truly have peace with God, the only way to have eternal salvation, is through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has paid for every sin, and there's nothing that we can add to his payment. In fact, God is insulted when we try to add to the payment that he has made. Lord Jesus Christ, who died, he buried, he rose again. God is completely satisfied with his payment for our sin. We need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be saved by faith. We are saved through grace. And that not of ourselves, is a gift of God. Out of works, that's not much of us. So maybe you were like myself and you thought that if you had a religious experience, if you came to church enough, if you gave enough, if you did enough this and that, that it would all work out for you in the end. But we can confess that wrong thinking in the quietness of our own hearts this morning. Just as Amos mistakenly thought that salvation could be purchased with that large sum of money, we can confess the Lord and trust in him for salvation. And tell the Lord right now in the quietness of your own heart that you trust in him alone to save you. Verse 12. Naaman, he's quite offended at this all. Let's go to verse 13. There's a reasonable servant. And his servants came to him and spake to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? Much rather than he said to you, 'Wash and be clean.'" And we sometimes like to have a big pardon. What we think we're doing for God. There's a very simple message. Wash and be clean. There is no boasting in our salvation. And likewise, there was to be no boasting for Naaman and his healing of leprosy. Naaman had to humble himself and to obey the word of God. Naaman had to have childlike faith, just as his servant girl had childlike faith. He had to take God at his word. He was a mighty man of valor. He has to come to God the same way that his servant girl came. And that reminds us of the verse that every valley shall be exalted and every mountain shall be made plain. Welcome to God in the same way. So Naaman, he washes himself in obedience to God's word, and he came up a new man. He had a new skin, and he had a new heart for the Lord. Now verse 15. I'm going to read this to you. It says, "And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, but he was clean." We'll just read it here. Luke 18. Luke 18 and verse 16 says, "Jesus said to them, 'Allow the little children to come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in." And so Naaman, he's received the word of God just as a little child, believing in a faith, then acting upon it, and he's healed of his leprosy. So Naaman, in verse 15, he returns to God and all his company, and he stands before them, and he wants to thank him for the work that was done. And that kind of reminds me of the Lord Jesus when he healed 10 lepers. Only one returned. He said, "Where are the other 9? We're not 10 lepers." But Naaman, he's like the one that returns and to thank, give thanks. And he says, "Behold," verse 15, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." Now just think back to how this all started. The It started with the faith of a servant girl who was unashamed to speak the word of her God, the good deal. And so now, Naaman, he now knows that there's no God in all the earth but the Lord. And in Naaman, we find an illustration of the gospel of grace. Naaman, he was from an enemy country of Israel. He was from Syria. He was captain of the Syrian army. And humanly speaking, his condition, it was helpless. It was hopeless. He was a leper. But by God's grace reached out to his human need. And likewise, we're all dead in trespasses, and by God's grace reaches out to us in our human need, and he alone is able to save us. So there's this large gift that's offered to Elisha in verse 16, and it says, as the Lord lives, I will receive nothing. And the grace of God is priceless. It's not for sale. We cannot purchase eternal salvation. Now, the Lord is to receive all the glory. The Lord says, I am the Lord, and I will not share my glory with him or with another. So again, just remember that leprosy is a picture of sin, and by the grace of God, the name of leprosy has been removed. And God's grace cannot purchase. Verse 17. Now Naaman is acting upon his faith. He wants to take some earth from Israel back to Syria to worship on. And then there's this little bit about the idol temple of Rimmon. And I'm not so sure. I don't understand what part of his job he has to go in there or what. But Elisha, he doesn't tell him one way or the other. Says, go in peace. And so, as a result of Naaman's childlike faith, he carries on with the peace of God in his heart. But, verse 20, but Gehazi, completely different story here. But Gehazi. So now we're looking at greedy Gehazi. And says, I will take something. I want a part of this. And he's a very covetous man. Lies to get what he wants. He lied not just to obtain a single portion, but a double portion. Well, there's two guys that need some stuff, so he's getting a double what any single person would need. And verse 23, I think it's ironic that the words that Naaman says to him. Oh, well, Naaman says, is everything well? Oh, yeah, but we need this stuff, silver and clothes for the other people. Naaman says to him, first words out of his mouth, be content. He says, be content, be happy with this, take two talents, take the change of clothes. But he could have really just stopped, be content. Gehazi, be content. But he doesn't. And Gehazi wants the stuff. He's in it for the things. He's not in it for the relationship with the Lord. Verse 24, there's an exchange. It says, when he came to the tower, and my footnotes say the secret place, he took them from their hand. And so, Gehazi thought this could be done secretly, and he stashes away, but there's nothing not a secret that is hidden from the Lord. We need to honor the Lord in the secret. We need to honor the Lord even with our secret thoughts. And if we're tempted to think evil, we need to take every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, the Lord sees everything that's done in secret. It's not hid from you. And so when he walks in, the Lord's showing Elisha what's the transaction that's taking place. And Elisha, he asks the same question, similar question to what the Lord asked Adam in the garden. Where are you? He says, where were you? And Gehazi said, well, nowhere. But this was not hidden from the Lord. And Elisha exposes him. And he says, that he's going to have the leprosy of Naaman. But Gehazi, in his sin, he's given the Syrians the idea now, the thought that God's, what was God's free gift of grace was something that could be purchased. And so the consequence was great. He was going to be a leper for the rest of his life. So things don't end well at all for Gehazi because of his greed and because of his covetousness. And I was just to end with this sentence, we wouldn't be reading about Naaman in the scriptures if it it wasn't for a servant girl's child faithful. There was a servant girl who was faithful to the Lord. So may the Lord help us to have a childlike faith in whatever it is that we want to do.
Was there a closing song?
We'll pray and then we'll sing about some of these. Our Father, to thank you for your word, thank you for the lessons of Scripture, and we pray that we take it to heart. We pray that we would have childlike faith in every circumstance. We commit our way to you, pray that you would direct our path. Thank you. For the week behind, we ask your blessing on the week ahead. Ask you to give the glory in our lives. Help us to speak your word in season to them later. So we'll sing the doxology together.